President Trump has invited Khashoggi's distraught fiancée to the White House. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has called on Saudi Arabia to support a thorough investigation of Khashoggi's case and to be transparent about the results. Members of the Trump administration would seem to be on the same page, but to what end?
I think their unified view is, please make this go away quickly. It's causing us a lot of problems.
That's Tamara Kaufman-Wittes of the Brookings Institution. She notes the U.S. has had a close relationship with Saudi Arabia, really since World War II. She also says Khashoggi's disappearance threatens the very personal relationship the White House has established.
When these guys do business together, they get on the phone with each other, or Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, calls Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of President Trump, directly, rather than working through ambassadors or lower-level aides. And there's also the constant refrain from President Trump that this is my great friend. And indeed, this is language that he uses with regard to a number of autocrats around the world, whether it's Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in Egypt, or President Duterte in the Philippines.
What would you say that cozy relationship translates into?
At least in recent decades, American presidents have been at pains to demonstrate that while we have friendships all around the world, we do business with all kinds of governments, our best friends, our most reliable friends, our most valued friends, are fellow democracies. That's been a standard refrain in American foreign policy pretty much since the end of World War II and strengthened since the end of the Cold War. And that's the language that President Trump has thrown out the window, in essence. He's made it clear, including in his speech at the UN General Assembly a couple of weeks ago, that he's really not concerned about how other governments govern their own societies. He just wants to know what's in it for him.
I guess I want to know what difference it all makes, because, I mean, the Trump White House has been described as enthusiastically pro-Saudi. But are there really shades of being pro-Saudi, because it's the world's biggest arms importer and one of the biggest exporters of oil? I mean, that's a wild combination that you're either in or you're out. We're, the U.S. is in, right? And we've been in for decades.
Well, the United States has been happy to have a very close relationship with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia since the end of World War II. The U.S. and Saudi worked together to develop those Saudi oil fields. And yes, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia purchases quite a lot of weaponry from the United States. President Obama, in fact, sold a record dollar amount of weapons to the kingdom during his 8 years in office, and Trump looks like he's ready to top that record. So there is continuity, but there is a substantive difference in the Trump administration's approach in that President Trump has really signaled that he's willing to give the Saudis a free hand, not just in terms of repression at home, but in terms of regional policy as well. Under Trump, the Saudis basically have a blank check.
So what are you seeing as reaction from the White House right now about what could well be an assassination of this journalist, Jamal Khashoggi?
I think that the swift and fierce outrage among all these other sectors in Washington pushed the White House into a response where we might not otherwise have seen one. This is notable because it's the first public criticism that we've seen from the Trump administration at any senior level of Saudi human rights behavior. And it's also notable because it's the first time that I can think of in the Trump administration where we've seen this kind of coordinated release of statements from a whole set of senior officials at once, which is meant to emphasize that they have a unified view.
How much did U.S. intelligence know about Khashoggi's safety before he walked into this consulate in Istanbul?
This is a very important question and one to which I don't think we have a complete answer. The Washington Post reported last night that sources were telling them that U.S. intelligence intercepted communications among Saudi officials talking about their desire to lure Jamal back to a place where they could get their hands on him. That's very disturbing, if true, because it raises the immediate question of when the intelligence community learned this information and what, if anything, the U.S. government did to warn a resident of the United States about the fact that a foreign government was plotting against his safety.
again, if it turns out the Saudi officials planned and executed this assassination, what's it going to mean to other allies? Like, can Saudi Arabia get away with this on the world stage?
If the United States is not willing to stand up against violations of basic human rights, if the United States is not willing to stand up for a journalist who was merely exercising his right to free expression, then other governments that also believe in these rights, also think they are important, but have less power, less influence, less ability to insulate themselves from the blowback, will be deterred from speaking up themselves. And moreover, those vulnerable people who most need the protection of international human rights law, dissidents, journalists, civil society activists, they take on the risk of doing their work in the faith that democratic governments around the world will speak up for them if they are arrested or disappeared for exercising their rights. And so it's a betrayal of those people around the world when the United States fails to play that role.
Tamara Kaufman-Wittes served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs during the Obama administration. Her forthcoming book is called Our SOBs, America's Ties with Autocratic Allies. Tamara, thank you very much.
Thank you.